Good morning, everyone. It is my great, great pleasure to be here today. I have had the privilege to learn a little bit already about whole education movement and the program you are part of. And I must say, we must now learn something from this movement and program in Finland. The reason why I say this is that in Finland, oftentimes it is usually the researchers who have the possibility to vision the future, and they publish innovative articles and things in international journals, and yet the schools and classrooms seem to remain the same. So research is often sticky, it stays in the publications, but I think teachers, classrooms, parents and the communities schools are part of have the greatest power to really make the change, to move education to 21st century. And this kind of peer learning, peer sharing, peer visioning is a powerful movement. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to be part of this dialogue and community. Today is a very special day for me also, since it is our Independence Day in Finland. It is exactly 94 years ago Finland got its independence from Russia. Today is a bank holiday, and at about 6 p.m. our time, 4 p.m. here, every window has a blue and white candle, and it is very beautiful outside. So wonderful to be here today and to talk, not only to reflect what we have done, but rather to orient our thinking and construct the landscape for the future and how we are thinking of education and what we should do to make it adequate for our children of the future. Yes, one could talk about Finland phenomena. We are on the news all the time. We are invited to many exciting destinations to talk and reveal the secrets of Finnish education. There are many excursions to our schools, people wanting to find out what are we really doing. Well, we have also been very puzzled. What are we really doing? It is like air that we breathe, education in Finland. You know, Finland is a very small country, 5.3 million people living there. We can definitely not compete in global economy with a workforce. We have always invested in education, and we have tried our best to educate our children for the future. And now, with all this international success, international comparisons, we have been obviously very proud, but also puzzled. So how can we explain Finland's educational success? Drinking more coffee, perhaps? Having and taking the most saunas of any other country? Eating fish nearly every day? We already had the fish slide before. Investing in the highest quality preparation for all teachers? All the above. Or is it Santa that brings the PISA scores? Well, today I'm slightly going to talk about Finnish education. And I'm also going to direct our attention why we think good is not enough, challenges to our system. I'm also going to share briefly what our educational development plans are currently. And what is our innovation strategy, or do we have it? I also want to share a few cases to make a point that what kinds of things we hope to see in schools, in classrooms, and in communities taking place. So here is Finland. Here are our neighbours. Here are some facts. We got part of EU in 95. We have two official languages, Finnish and Swedish. Our immigration population is not great, 3.6 of our population. But we have always invested on education, and as you can see from the last point, in the year 2011, 13.3% of the state budget was allocated to the education sector. It is very important and has always been. Obviously today, via the economic situation, we need to make some cuts, but education is still one of our priorities. What else? What are the more serious facts that actually may explain some of the results, why we are succeeding so well in international comparisons? We have always had this vision and value, the principle of educational equity. We have always, or for at least a long time, trusted on local autonomy of municipalities and schools and decentralization. Actually, in Finland, there is a hidden curriculum that plays an important role due to this nature of organizing our education. Since we don't have school inspections, teachers and schools and municipalities have a lot of power to shape the education based on the national core curriculum. But nevertheless, innovations, different types of practices are possible, even in one school. We obviously have assessments and evaluations, but we call them and like to see them more like enhancement-led. We have had a long political consensus in education as a developmental priority. Our education system is also almost entirely publicly funded. In this case, municipalities hire the teachers to their schools. So although we talk about publicly funded, the funding that my organization, the National Board of Education, provides goes to municipalities, and they provide and then hire the teachers to particular schools. So municipalities actually have a lot of power. So we have the national core curriculum, then we have curriculum constructed by the municipalities to be sensitive to that particular district in our country. And then we have schools who also have the power and possibility to shape the curriculum for their particular schools, for the needs of the students, teachers, and local communities. Instruction is free of charge. And also we have invested for long the preparation of teachers. Our teachers have master's degrees, and they engage in rigorous research also as part of their programs, and we hope to educate reflective teachers who not only just follow the curriculum or textbooks, but rather are able to innovate and create the future for the children. Well, Finland is a unique case, obviously, and can we really teach? What are the lessons from Finland to be learned by other countries? I think there are some. Obviously, every country, every nation has its own unique features that needs to be appreciated. But nevertheless, there appear to be also some characteristics that could be found in many of the high-achieving nations currently who do well in PISA. They are, and what they seem to be, that there is great societal support for children's welfare on the whole. Not only education, but other services that children or parents may need. There is equitable resources in the schools. There is equitable access to rich thinking curriculum. And also substantial investments in initial teacher education and ongoing support. Not only the preparation of teachers, but in-service education is as pivotal. And there are different types of programs to support teachers' lifelong learning and lifelong learning opportunities. And so schools are designed to support teacher and student learning. But what about innovation? Our PISA results are good, and we have now identified possibly some explanations for our success. However, the question remains, what is innovative in the Finnish education system, and are we going to be successful in the future? Our current concerns behind our good results are that, as already was wonderfully demonstrated by Kerry in her talk, our society is changing. We are also getting old in Finland, this aging society. Also growing welfare expenditures, and also there are differences in regional developments. Our municipalities and schools in different areas of Finland, there are signals that our value of equity in education is now being threatened. Are we able to keep up this kind of idea of equal opportunities for every learner, no matter he or she lives, or no matter from which types of families or other kinds of conditions this child comes from? We also have people who have started to question this national commitment to understand education as a long-term investment. And obviously, Finland is welcoming now, and we need to, I think our culture and country also, we need international workforce, international scholars and people living in our country. Our country is becoming multicultural, but are we prepared to appreciate and acknowledge and harness all those funds of knowledges, international communities, multicultural children and families bring to our society? We have a lot to learn, and this is one element that is a very important goal for us to collaborate globally in order to learn how to create opportunities for multicultural learners and communities for lifelong learning. Also, schools and educational contexts in general are changing in Finland. We are struggling slightly now with pupil welfare services. There are more and more students who suffer from learning difficulties. Actually, nearly 30% of our children are diagnosed having special needs requirements. We also are very concerned, as you have may sadly heard, about our security in schools. That is an element we need to tackle. Group sizes, classrooms, the number of students in the classroom is rising. Are we able to provide student-sensitive learning and teaching? Also, are schools equipped with digital technologies? And are we able to move and help students learn with technologies that they use out of school? Are we, in fact, also communicating and collaborating with other parts of the world? School shouldn't be an isolated island, but rather a collaborator and also acknowledge children's learning out of school. It appears, in fact, currently that some learnings, most important and powerful, may take place outside the school because children are able to harness technologies there. They may be doing things that they like in order to learn. But in the school, if it stays the same and its pedagogies are more traditional, it may not allow children to flourish and be engaged. Rote learning is not enough any longer. We also are seeing drastic differences in our national assessments of learning outcomes between boys and girls, and also between schools and districts. And also there are challenges with this ideal of giving more power and opportunities for municipalities and schools to make big educational decisions. We at the National Board of Education are concerned how we can steer and guide and support every school, every municipality to obtain the targets that we have set. So to find this right balance is a challenge, and we are struggling. Here are some questions for our education system currently. So do we notice and care about non-conforming students? How do we tackle early warning signals about growing differences between schools in learning outcomes? And do we really today enable teachers and students to flourish? And do we acknowledge high-order skills or skills that are called 21st century learning skills? Do we harness them and do we integrate them into our curriculum and into everyday teaching and learning practices. Great efforts and discussions are currently ongoing in Finland in the education policy sector because our curriculum for basic education is now being renewed. What I'm going to share is not only my own thinking, but many politicians, researchers, teachers, and citizens who have been very concerned of our education have joined this dialogue and to vision what and how we should do to change and develop our education. Here is a map that we are focusing on in order to develop our education to this century. The core is learning, how to promote it. We are developing models together with interdisciplinary researchers, pedagogues, teachers, private and public sector, politicians, how to create 21st century pedagogies. What are 21st century skills? How do we see them locally in Finland? How can we promote the usage of technologies in education? What are meaningful activities? Do they support students' learning, providing them adequate skills, competencies, and knowledges that they need in their future lives? We are going towards system-level transformation in which no element is left untackled. This is obviously a policy-making perspective. No element should be just left on its own. But if we really want to develop change and move our education system forward, we need to look and take care of all those elements. But first, something about learning. Because this is what I am personally very concerned, is that we are here not only to talk about education, but the core is the learner. And learning. Learning happens today across time, place, and space. It happens not only in schools, but everywhere. It has always happened everywhere. But I think now we educators and policymakers are starting to understand the power of learning happening everywhere. Learning is local. It is today very global. Learning can be integrated. There may be subjects, disciplines integrated, or highly distributed in different locations. Learning could be formal, informal, virtual, physical. It is all these elements we need to think about when we are talking about the future of education and the learning goals and practices we want to promote in our schools. Here are the elements that we have found very important to focus on in order to move the whole education system forward. So strategy, high expectations for all, not only teachers, but for education administrators, school leaders, learners, the whole community who supports learning and creates conditions for it. Leadership is an important element. Providers, provision of services is important. Finance is important. Monitoring and evaluation is an important element of systemic reform effort. Teachers, learning environments, core curriculum, and even legislation. We need to tackle all these elements in the education policy-making sector. So what is our strategy for basic education? What are the steps that we are now taking and what we are currently hopefully writing to our new curriculum for basic education? High expectations for all. That is very important. What is very important also is that learning should be motivating and meaningful. We have now great discussions and also heated debates whether school learning should be fun then. Should learning be just fun? No. We are not meaning only it, but we are worried by the fact that now oftentimes students are unmotivated. They are not engaged. They don't want to strive, tackle problems or challenges. So we need to really think carefully about the learning environments and learning contexts, how we can make learning more motivating and meaningful to help students bring and develop in themselves efficacy and resilience to tackle challenges, not only in school learning, but throughout their lives. What is also important is school leadership, teachers, learning environments, and most importantly, and why we are here also today, is the collective capacity as a resource. And this is all what we can do via system-wide development efforts. In our discussions, we have been brainstorming and defining what in Finland do 21st century skills mean. We have also created a new concept that resonates in our own language, Finnish, that is called, if we translate it, citizen skills. Here, crucial elements are thinking skills, crafts and expressive skills, ways of working and interacting in the world, self-awareness and personal responsibility, and participation and initiative. These are very valuable skills that we hope to promote in our future curriculum. But as was already mentioned, we are not hoping to have these as separate disciplines to be studied at school. On the contrary, we hope them to be seen, as you can see up there in the box, these 21st century skills should be a pivotal part. They should go through and run through all these content areas that we hope to provide and promote in our schools and in the curriculum. We are trying to create more holistic curriculum in which some subjects could be studied in bigger holes. We have now proposed that there should be one content unit that is to do with language and interaction, one content unit that is to do with environment, science and technology, one content unit that is mathematics, then one content unit, I don't know whether the translation is the best, but individual, enterprise and society, then arts and crafts, health and personal functionality. And it is in all these, we hope to promote these 21st century skills, and this requires a lot now, even from civil servants at the National Board of Education, now to write the core curriculum in such a way that these skills are reflected there. What we are also doing in Finland, that we are now digitalizing our curriculum. So we are hoping to that the curriculum would start to function even more in the hands of teachers and in classrooms than it has before. Today, unfortunately, oftentimes it could be a door stopper or something, but now we want to make it more alive, and so there could be learning materials, peer-to-peer learning, suggestions about innovative pedagogies, practices that could be shared along the lines of the digital version of the curriculum. There are huge work now being done to vision what this kind of digital service could look like and what elements we need to take into account in our work. I know time is running. How much do I have? Nothing left, or I cannot see any. Okay, oh, 2 minutes, okay. So we have also been very concerned that whether we actually really have an innovation strategy in education. We have innovation strategy, a national innovation strategy, but is education really truly part of it? And since, although we nationally support there are different sorts of innovative projects in different parts of Finland, but it seems that, and they are governmentally supported, but we are not steering them well. Schools, teachers, classrooms, students are not learning from each other. There are beautiful exceptions here and there, but it seems that everybody is creating the wheel again and not learning from one another. And I think that is why this whole education movement that you have created is so important, that it's time to start to share, to steer, and to build the knowledge base all the time. Not that everybody creates their own exciting things, but rather learns already from what others have done and constructs those ideas even further. So this is what we are focusing, and we have done now some analytical work together with the innovation unit, what our current so-called innovative projects, either done by schools or by communities, what do they look like, and where, how should we now scale them throughout the country? And in my slides, I had several still left, but we made some analytical work with the help of Innovation Unit and Valerie Hannon particularly, mapping out what our projects currently look like, where they are located. And it seems that mostly we are at the formal sector still, and established education institutions are creating these exciting projects. But as you can see, there is not clearly a new paradigm emerging, and informal sector is not yet harnessed as it should. I have a slideshow that and PowerPoint presentation that I have given to Douglas, and there were some examples on the projects that I was hoping to share, what really signal how we see 21st century education look like and how we would hope to disseminate for every learner in Finland to be engaged in. And I am sharing these slides with you also. But I would like to end my talk with this slide. I have been emphasizing learners and learning, because I think that is why we are here. We are here to learn and also to support our learners to learn and be ready for their lives and work in the future. And here are some of the skills and attitudes and values that we now hope to promote in our renewal process of our education system. I am balanced and unique. I take others into account. Knowledge and skills are my tools. I participate, influence, and take responsibility. I create, take interest, and gain insights. The world is within my reach. Communication skills are my strengths. Thank you.